And please take a seat. Andrew, could we have the first verse of that back up there? We just sung that. You've just sung that. Pentecost Sunday today, where we remember the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus' ascension. This is what we have just sung. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move among us. Move among us with holy fire. As we lay aside all that we desire that's not of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we recognize that so often we sing songs without thinking about it, whether that be in church, whether that be in the kitchen, in the car, along to the radio. Words trip off our tongue and we're hardly aware of what they mean. Yes, Father, we sing this one today. We sing, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask you to move amongst us with holy fire, that you might be the desire of our hearts as we lay all else aside. Have your way amongst us, your people, for your name's sake, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit today. Amen. The last few weeks we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And last week Marcus spoke from Luke 11, that version of the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." I don't know whether you were here and you remember, whether you talked in your home groups about it, whether you remember it from when you were growing up, saying it in school, wherever. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. That is our cry, that God's kingdom would come. And Marcus read not just the Lord's Prayer, didn't he? He carried on and read the next bit that went with it, about a friend knocking at a door. And because he was persistent, the man getting up and giving him what he required. And Jesus saying, actually, God's not quite like that. And it ended in verse 13 of Luke 11 with, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Your kingdom come. Ask for the Holy Spirit, and the Father will pour him out. How much more will he give? And so actually, although we're taking a break in the Lord's Prayer, because it's Pentecost, actually it fits in very well. The heart of what we're praying in the Lord's Prayer is that his kingdom might come, and for his kingdom to come, we need the Holy Spirit within us, at work in us, and through us, and in the world around us. Today we're going to have a look at three passages within the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit is poured out. We're going to have a look at Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. We're going to have a little look at Acts 4, when the believers pray together and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And we're going to have a look at Acts 10. Acts 10:11 that Cornelius' house, when the Holy Spirit is poured out. On each occasion, the Holy Spirit is poured out on believers. We're going to have a look at what precipitated these events, what came before, what actually happened, and what was the result of what happened. And try to pick up some threads that are common, that actually we can apply today. So we'll start in Acts 2. We're going to read the first 21 verses. Well, I'll read it out loud and you can follow along. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So, what has happened before we get to this point? Well, we celebrated, didn't we, earlier, the death of Jesus. But not just his death. We remembered that he rose again, that he's coming back a second time. But for him to come back, he had to go. So in Acts 1, the disciples saw him ascend to heaven. Jesus saying to them, "Wait around. I know you understand the truth of the gospel. You know the power of my death and resurrection in your lives. But you need to wait in Jerusalem. Wait a few days and then my spirit will be poured out on you, empowering you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, the disciples obeyed Jesus because they knew that they needed more of God if they were going to fulfill their purpose. They constantly gather together. Here at the start of Acts 2, we find them together. The end of Acts 1, they're together, praying. Constantly gathering together. They had a hunger for more of God. What happened then on the day of Pentecost? Well, touring recently at Spurgeon's, actually the thinking nowadays is that actually they were meeting probably in a room in the temple. Because for 3,000 to be converted on the day of Pentecost, for that number of people to have witnessed and heard the wind blowing, to hear the voices, actually the layout of Jerusalem would mean that the roads around the temple were probably the only spaces where that number of people could congregate. So again, they were together, praying, seeking more of God. And then the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, filled where they were. A little bit unusual, I would say. Tongues of fire separating, coming to rest on each of them. All of them filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We've heard this story. You've probably heard this story many times. But can you imagine what it would have been like that first time? Bizarre wouldn't be the half of my reaction. You know, I've been in a few prayer meetings and wind hasn't blown well. Not violent wind. I've never seen tongues of fire. Don't know about you. Actually, I don't recall in the Old Testament tongues of fire coming and separating on a bunch of people. And suddenly everyone around you is speaking to you unintelligibly. And your mouth is going 19 to the dozen. And you don't know what's going on. Unexpected, unexplained, unusual events. Demonstrating that God was doing something here. Some even made fun of them and said, "This is ridiculous. This is off beam. This is not God. You've drunk too much." So what resulted from the pouring out of the Holy Spirit? Well, the gospel was preached, wasn't it? Peter stood up. He addressed the crowd. He told them the good news of Jesus dying, rising to life, the forgiveness of sins. Many were saved, added to their number that day. Then we read at the end of the chapter that there was a devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders that were being performed. And all the believers had everything in common. These were the results of the Spirit being poured out. So, Acts 4, if you want to flick over a page or two. Peter and John had been to the temple, as was their usual custom, had met the lame man at the gate, beautiful, had Peter had said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." He got up, praised God, people responded to what they had seen. The religious authorities decided this is not going on, called Peter and John before them, put them in prison overnight, got them back in the morning and said, "Look, we can't deny what's happened, but you've got to stop talking in the name of Jesus." Peter and John went back to the believers and they prayed together. They prayed for boldness, that God might help them to continue to proclaim the name of Jesus. They prayed for miraculous works of power to demonstrate the truth of what they were saying. They knew that they needed more of God to fulfill their purpose. They had a hunger for more of God. What happened? Well, the Holy Spirit came. Verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, tongues of fire didn't come. There wasn't a blowing of a violent wind, but the room shook. Something different again. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Unusual, unexpected events occurred. I'm sure that they had been praying, as they usually did, on many other occasions as well. This wouldn't have been the next prayer meeting after the day of Pentecost. But God poured out His Spirit and unusual things happened. What happened as a result of the Holy Spirit? Well, they spoke the word of God boldly. Verse 33, with great power they continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit moved in power. Verse 32, 34 to 37 talks about them sharing their possessions. There was compassion for one another. Acts 10. Up until now, the disciples, the apostles, have been speaking primarily to the Jews. Persecution broke out, they scattered, but continued primarily to speak to the Jews. You had the odd occasion like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And then this occurred. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, devout, it says, God-fearing, gave to the needy and prayed. Verse 4, the Lord answered him in his prayers. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. So he called him to send for Peter. Peter came after his own vision and he spoke the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Cornelius had a hunger for more of God. He knew God partially, but had a hunger for more. So what happened? Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came. Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit came and broke through some of our sermons? As we were speaking, the Holy Spirit just comes in power. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. They spoke in tongues. The believers present were astonished at what they saw. The Holy Spirit being poured out even on Gentiles. Unexpected. This was not in the plan. They weren't prepared for this. Unusual events demonstrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What resulted? Well, those present were baptized. The gospel spread, and we read through the rest of Acts, don't we? The gospel spreading to the Gentile world. Acts 11, where Peter was explaining his actions back to the brothers. Acts 11 finishes with those Christians in Antioch giving back to those in Jerusalem who were in need. So, three different events, but some common threads. Common thread before the Holy Spirit came was a hunger for more of God. We sang, "Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move among us." Was that really your desire? Can you relate to Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Today. Have you come here today thirsting and panting for more of God? Maybe you've come today because that's what you do on a Sunday. Maybe you've come today because you've got a particular need that you are asking God to meet. Have you come today saying, "God, I want more of you. And I want more of you on your terms and not mine"? What happened in each of the occasions that we read through? Well, things that were not expected to happen. The unexpected, the unusual. Things that had not gone before. God did something different. We read, and I was talking to someone earlier in the week, that God does say, doesn't he, through Isaiah the prophet, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We like to think we understand. We like to think that we can have God sewn up, his ways ordered. And yet, do we limit God by thinking like that? By coming to a meeting and saying, "God, I want more of you, but in ways that I'm comfortable with, in ways that I've seen before, that have been proven and tested." I was in a lecture at Spurgeon's College this week, pastoral care and counselling lecture, and the guy who's giving the lecture is a psychologist, been in the profession for years, before that a minister. He recounted to us a story, an experience of his back in the mid-90s. I don't know whether most of you, many of you will have heard of, remember the Toronto outpouring. And if you have, you've probably got your own views on whether you thought that was of God or not. But basically some strange things started to happen, initially in Toronto, and then it sort of spread out. There were meetings going on in this country, and as a psychologist, he went to one, deciding to see what effect this sort of meeting was having on people's psychological responses. And he said that the guy stood at the front and just basically said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then they waited. After a short period of time, he said, "Suddenly everyone around me seems to be falling over. Bit bizarre." But what stuck with this guy was that he started crying. And he cried uncontrollably for an hour. And he said, "I've never done that before, and I've never done that since. But I know that something was happening with God and me on that occasion. It was unexpected, unusual. More of you, God, on your terms? Is that what we say?" What resulted from each of these three episodes? The gospel spread. The good news of Jesus was preached. People were saved. Signs and wonders followed. God's power was demonstrated through his people. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit brought a great compassion amongst the believers for one another. A care for one another. A sharing. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out so that they might have a lovely meeting. So that they might leave a meeting feeling, "Wasn't that wonderful? I felt the Spirit move." We don't ask God to presence himself here by his Holy Spirit so that we feel good now. We ask God to move by his Spirit so that we and this world will be changed. That his gospel will go forth with power. Lives will be changed. 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit isn't there for your own personal enjoyment, but for the building up of the body and for the witness of his church. Good news spreading in power to change lives, spiritually, emotionally, physically. So do we now say, "More of you, God, on your terms," this Pentecost Sunday? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we do not have all the answers. In and of ourselves, we are powerless to do your will, and we desire to do your will. We hunger for your name to be lifted high, for salvation to come in this land, right across the world, for your power to be displayed. And Lord, we recognize that as your ways and your thoughts are far superior to ours, we need to submit to you and say, "Lord God, we desire and require more of you as you see fit to give to us. We are open vessels for your Spirit to move." And Lord God, I pray that even now as we sing together, breathe on me, breath of God, that you would do just that as we open ourselves to you, that you would breathe your Holy Spirit onto each of us, that we might declare your gospel with power, that we might have compassion for one another, that your name, Lord Jesus, might be lifted high. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, "Breathe on me, God."